Trevor Sadasti, Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 1, Episode 7.
Hello and welcome back. In this episode, we feature APX Weekly Planner. And I'll start off by saying that the music that you heard is different, obviously. And the title of it is The Christmas is in Another Castle, and it's by Justin Gladstone. It is used under Creative Commons license, attribution, non-commercial, share alike. I hope you enjoy it. There'll be more of it at the end of this episode. Here's some information that's fresh off the newswire. This is the 3-month anniversary. I guess that's a milestone. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but apparently it has. I'm looking forward to doing a lot more episodes as this has become pretty fun. This will be the last episode of 2014, however. This isn't the holiday episode I wanted to do, but I was too far behind, and I actually still am, on that one. So I guess I'm saving that one for next year.
Corrections.
This isn't so much a correction as a supplement for an omission in Season 1, Episode 6 for Synapse Synfile Plus. I forgot to mention that there is a tutorial disc. Screenshots were included in the episode show notes, but I completely forgot to record a section about it. So yeah, there is a tutorial disc. It requires BASIC to run. It walks you through just about every aspect of the program and includes background on database basics to help you understand. Parts are pseudo-animated, and it appears well thought out. So if you don't know much about databases, and you're just getting started, this is a good place to start on this particular program. And it would apply to others as well. And now, back to APX Weekly Planner. Weekly Planner is a personal information manager, or PIM, that is designed to manage your calendar, what you need to do, and when. It supports multiple people, which is a nice touch. I recall most programs of the era being single-user centric. That said, it is geared towards a single-user interface, but the date entries can be tagged for different people, and as such, you have the ability to generate agendas for those select people as well.
Technical data.
The publisher for Weekly Planner was APX. It was programmed by Ronald and Lynn Marcuse. I hope I pronounced that right. It was released in 1982 under a commercial license. The part number from APX was 20079, and it was available on disk only. It required 32K of memory, and it requires BASIC. The price was $24.95, which in today's dollars is $61.86. The manual is brief at 26 pages.
Usage notes.
Weekly Planner is menu-driven software, and it has 6 menu options. The first is Inquiry and Update, the second is Add, third is Appointment List, fourth is Calendar, fifth is Reorganize File, and sixth is End Session. When using Weekly Planner, the first thing you should do is make a copy of the disk. It only works with Drive 1, and the disk must be in the drive. It reads and writes to 2 locked files, cal.ix and cal.dt, the data file and index file, respectively. Each data record is 52 bytes, and each index record is 10 bytes. Now, one thing to note is that this only works with DOS 2, so you cannot put this on a SpartaDOS disk or a MyDOS disk. It will not work. Use the left and right arrow keys to navigate and choose an option. And don't use the system reset key, or you can or will lose data. With 32K of RAM, 428 records are supported. If you have 40K, 575 records are supported. If you have 48K, you can get about 620 records. This is coded for use with the Atari 825 printer. There's a section in the manual on how to modify the source to support other printers. To make this more useful than just printing a calendar, we have to talk about adding records. So let's do that now. You're going to enter the date in 6-character numeric format, month-month, day-day, year-year. You'll enter the time in a 4-character numeric format, which is hour-hour, minute-minute, an optional space, and then a.m. or p.m. Then you'll enter the person's initials. This doesn't need to be defined anywhere, but it's a 2-character alpha field. You'll enter the event type as 1 alphanumeric character, like H for holiday, B for birthday, P for payment, A for appointment, completely up to you. Then you'll enter a brief event description as 15-character alphanumeric, like New Year's or Christmas. And then you'll enter a description, which can be up to 26 characters alphanumeric. It's still brief, a little bit too brief if you ask me. The manual says to use event field as an abbreviated version of the description, but your mileage might vary, because the event field is actually what is displayed on the screen when you're doing a list, and it's what shows up on the calendar when you print it out. So the description field only comes into play when you're actually looking at the detail records on the screen. The interesting thing here is that wildcards are allowed during editions. So if you want to set a recurring yearly, monthly, or daily event, you can enter asterisk for the month, day, or year portion of the date. As for time, you can also use no or mi in place of the am or pm indicator, where no would represent noon and mi would represent midday when you're entering 12:00 for the hour and minute. Wildcards also work in the person field, so the event will reflect for everyone, like on a holiday. You'll be asked to type Y if the record is okay after you complete all the entries. If you say no, you proceed to the next question and your record data is lost. There's no chance to edit. So the next question is, you'll be asked yes or no if there are more ads or not. If you say yes, obviously, you go back and add another one. If you say no, you return to the menu. Now that you have data entered into the program, the rest of the options become useful to you. So let's talk about inquiry and update now. The filtering is pretty decent. You can filter by date, time, and person, and a combination therein. Wildcarding is allowed. To see everything, use asterisk in each field. If you want to see just a particular date, enter it as month, month, day, day, year, year. For all days in a month, you would do month, month, asterisk, asterisk, year, year. Then you select Browse, Inquiry, Update, or End from the submenu that's displayed. Browse lets you match events showing the date, time, person, and event. This will show 20 records at a time, and you press a key to continue on to the next screen. If you chose Inquiry, this shows all event details for each match. You choose Continue after each to move forward, or End to quit. Update lets you do just that, edit records. This is the only way you can edit records. Each record that matches the filter will be displayed in detail like with inquiry. You select which field you want to change by using the arrow keys, just like in the main menu. Press return once you're on the field that you want to edit, and then make your change by pressing return again. This is also where you delete records. Find the one that you want by moving through the returned results, and then select the delete option. Now on to the first of the two printing options. Appointment list. This lets you print out formatted appointment sheets, either blank or populated with data. First, you define the period, the from and to dates, and the person. You'll also have a question about printing blank sheets. If you say yes, you get blank sheets. If you say no, it prints sheets for the person that was selected and for the range. Once it gets done, you'll be asked to check if the printer is ready. Then you'll be asked if you want 12-hour format or 24-hour format. Once you give it its final confirmation, printing takes a very long time, so be patient. It prints in 132-column mode, with each day broken down by hour. You can press Escape at any time, and it will stop printing at the completion of whatever day it is currently on. Now on to the second printing option, which is Calendar. This lets you print a calendar month view. As with Appointment List, you can print a blank one, or you can print a populated one with events. You define the period, the from, the to, and the person, and if you answer yes to the blank, you get blank sheets. If you answer no, you get sheets that are printed for the person selected and for the range selected. Up to 4 events will be printed on any given day. I've included sample reports that were printed out using Weekly Planner up on the InversaTasky website, so be sure to check them out there. The last menu option that does anything is Reorganize File. This loads another basic program which reclaims deleted record space, resorts, reindexes, and resaves the event data. Once complete, it displays a summary of a number of records loaded versus deleted, a success indicator, and then asks if you want to return to the main program. I'm not sure why you wouldn't. Saying no dumps you to basic. You could use this to see how many events are in the data file, and couple that with the knowledge of how many the program can handle based on the memory size that you have, and you'll get an idea of how full it is. And what's to say about end session other than it ends the session and dumps you back out to the basic prompt?
Fun facts.
The manual tells you how to change the left margin to 0 or 1 and resave the program so it's always reset where you want it. Line 35 to be exact.
Summary.
There's a lot of negatives with this, so bear with me. When entering fields, if it doesn't like a value, you're forced to re-enter it, but there is no error message to tell you what's wrong. Further, it doesn't clear the previous text, and that previous text won't be accepted on the next input, so you have garbage on the screen. Next, there is no way to display the monthly calendar on the screen. This, with the ability to move between months, would have been a superb addition to the program. You don't always want to print something out just to look at it. And the next one is the biggest one. It would be nice if you could work with separate files, say one for each person. This would ease the pain of the record limit. As it stands, it's barely adequate for use for one busy person. Assume, for instance, that you work 200 days per year with an average of 3 meetings per day. You're already at 600 events and exceeding the limit for a 40K machine. So you'll be forced to delete old records frequently and then using the reorg file to reclaim the space. More so if multiple people are using the system. If more than one person uses the system, it would probably be best to copy the disk for them and let them have their own copy. But that means entering and exiting the program a lot. Not a big deal today, but in 1981, it might be an issue since the computer was probably shared. So the bottom line is, would I use this program? If it was 1982, would I use it? Possibly. Back then we didn't have all-inclusive PIMS, so being able to track appointments via computer would be nice. Now from a retro computing perspective, would I use it? Nope, not a chance. Again, for me it boils down to navigation, just like with databases. Granted, I haven't reviewed enough programs to properly compare against, but I just can't see any being this archaic to use. I'll find out, I guess, and if I do decide it's worthy, I'll be sure to give you an update. Overall, I give this a bit rating a 2, mainly because, due to the poor edit controls, you could almost as easily do everything this does in a word processor. This nudges out a word processor just by a hair by providing the limited filtering that it does. So you're asking yourself now, if this doesn't work past 1999, how was I able to review it? Well, you'll notice in the examples that the dates I used are in the 21st century. I could have used comparable years, such as 1986, which matches up to 2014, but what fun would that be? So how did I do it? Well, that's my holiday gift to the Atari community. Merry Christmas! I updated the program so it will work with dates from 2000 to 2099. It would be rather simple to allow it to work with dates beyond as well, but I'm just guessing that most of the Atari computers would have degraded into dust by 2099. My version is 1.1. It's available on the InVersaTASCII website, and I'll see if Atari Mania and Atari Archive care to host a copy as well, but no guarantees. The code changes I made are described in detail in the show notes for the episode on the website. Head over to it to check it out. The work I did in BASIC for the routine to compute the day name is equally covered on my personal blog site, unfinishedbitness.info, and there's a link to that on the show notes as well. Enjoy!
Special thanks.
I'd like to thank everybody for listening and their continued support. I'd also like to give a special thanks to Jordan Gladstone for composing The Christmas is in Another Castle and for releasing it under a license which enabled me to use it. You'll hear more of that after the contact information. Again, thanks for listening.
Contact information.
The show notes can be found on InVersaTASCII.info. It can be found on iTunes using the search term ATASCII or Atari. It can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/InVersaTASCII. And you can also follow on Twitter with @InVersaTASCII. To leave comments or suggestions, you can email wade@InVersaTASCII.info or InVersaTASCII@iCloud.com. As always, thanks for listening and stay tuned for the next episode.
Bye.